Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 2nd. We continue our coverage of the state of Wisconsin this hour. We are also sharing updated weather information with you as it becomes available. But for the most part, this is your hour for you to react to what Governor Walker had to say last night in his State of the State address, and your hopes or your concerns about the direction that the state of Wisconsin is taking. Do you think that the policies proposed by Governor Walker and the action being taken by a Republican-controlled legislature will improve the state of the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your input during an open line of sorts, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will also, throughout the hour, be welcoming in a number of special guests for their takes on the state of the state. We will hear from a number of state lawmakers, Republicans and Democrats. We also are expecting to hear from Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett coming up a little bit later in the hour. We will get an update from him on how the blizzard is also affecting Milwaukee. So we do want to hear from you, your thoughts on the state of the state. Governor Walker last night is targeting state employee benefits and entitlement programs to help balance Wisconsin's budget. He said in his State of the State speech last night that state employees need to contribute more to their pension costs and more for their health insurance. He also said that Wisconsin's Medicaid programs are not sustainable. There probably will be cuts along those lines as well. He didn't lay out a lot of details, as we heard in state news. He did say that the state will also save $600 million by starting a construction project on the Interstate Zoo in exchange near Milwaukee sooner than planned. So some of the highlights of the State of the State address last night. And joining us first to get the ball rolling is Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. He gave the official Democratic response to the State of the State. And Representative Barca, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be on your show.
Are you snowbound somewhere in Madison, I assume?
Well, I'm actually just across the street over at the Concourse Hotel, so I can easily make it to the Capitol from here.
That's right. The legislature is still going to be in session today?
That's the plan.
You're braver than we are, but here we are. We're working. So what is your response to Governor Walker's State of the State address?
Well, he primarily spent most of his time just talking about the special session on economic development. And, you know, we agree that there is an economic emergency in this state, and we also agree we need to put people back to work immediately. But we feel that there's been a lost opportunity in this special session, in that of the 10 bills that have come forward, there have only been a couple that have any hope whatsoever of putting people back to work in any time in the next 6 months. And so as a consequence, yesterday, a couple days ago, we sent a letter to Governor Walker calling for an economic summit to bring together the best minds in Wisconsin on economic development and job creation and private business leaders, workforce development experts, to try and bring forward more initiatives that actually have the promise of creating jobs immediately. We have businesses that are, you know, going under. We just heard of a couple of them just this past week. We have people whose unemployment benefits are running out, and they're desperate. They need immediate action. And most of the special session has been, you know, it's just kind of rebrand Wisconsin, which might be valuable over the long term, but really does very little in the short term. So it's really been one of lost opportunity, and we're hoping the governor will answer our call and call this economic summit, because we just desperately need to put people back to work now.
Well, a lost opportunity or not, the governor thinks that his, you know, passing this tort reform, some regulation reform and tax reform will signal to businesses in Wisconsin and outside of Wisconsin, like from Illinois, that Wisconsin is open for business. Don't you think that's going to improve the business climate in the state?
Well, I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, he has a bill that he put forward that we're going to be dealing with in the next week or so, dealing with wind energy, that says Wisconsin's not open for wind energy. It would make us one of the worst, if not the worst state in the nation, for citing wind energy projects. It would halt many projects across the state. It would actually send a message that we're hostile to wind energy and other alternative energy sources. So there are some mixed messages being sent, and that concerns me enormously. We just believe we're sending $16 billion out of the state every year to purchase our energy demands, and we can ill afford at this time to be canceling bioenergy projects and passing bills to make it nearly impossible to site new wind energy projects. So that's a major concern that we have right now with Governor Walker's agenda.
How concerned are you that the governor would like state employees to contribute more to their pensions and health insurance?
Well, as you know, Joy, we in December we came into a special session to try to pass the employee state contract. As part of those contracts, the state employees had agreed to pay more for their health insurance and their retirement costs. But the governor was emphatic about asking us not to pass it. He was able to stop at the Senate. And so I'm hoping that he's beginning to bargain in earnest. We said at that point he'd need to start bargaining the first day in office to get these contracts signed and in place. But state employees have indicated they're willing to help, and they were willing to help in the last contract. So hopefully he's going to be at the bargaining table and attempting to work out a deal that's, you know, fair and equitable. It's the Wisconsin way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's and anything else from the state of the state, though, that particularly stood out to you?
I would say the only other thing that did strike me somewhat is, you know, we certainly all agree that the Packers are the best team in the NFL, but really, if you wouldn't have mentioned the Packers and a couple of companies, you wouldn't even have known it was state of the state concerning Wisconsin, because, you know, there just wasn't much reference to so many of the positive qualities in the state. You know, he didn't talk about agriculture, which is a key part of the state. There was not much reference to tourism or other sectors of the economy that are very important to Wisconsin. I was surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. And any concerns about whether Medicaid programs or Badger Care programs are going to be cut substantially?
Well, very much so. I mean, we're very concerned. Wisconsin is the second best state in the nation for providing access to health care at this point. And if there was ever a time in our history with so many workers struggling, that would be important and valuable. Now, this is the time. So hopefully, in terms of his review of the budget and bringing forward a budget which should be delivered in the next 3 weeks, we're hoping that, you know, people are not going to be thrown off of Badger Care, which is one of the best programs we have in Wisconsin.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, good to be with you, Joy. Thank you so much.
Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader, he gave the official Democratic response to Governor Walker's State of the State address last night. We'll continue hearing from lawmakers throughout the hour and other guests reacting to the State of the State. And we want to hear from you, too, promising you an opportunity to respond. And let's go to Rebecca in Green Bay. What do you think?
The only thing that I was surprised as far as proposals coming forward was for Governor Walker last night. I was surprised he didn't put a proposal forward to change the motto on the state flag from forward to backwards. I'm in shock. It just seems like everybody's out for immediate gratification, and the long-term effects I'm very afraid of as far as our energy, our education, our the welfare of our entire society. A society is built not from the top down, but from the bottom up. And it just seems like we are just being very, like I said, immediate gratification with just having jobs as the only focus and the only topic of conversation last night in his speech. I'm appalled at some of the fast-tracking of some development that's going on up here in our Green Bay area of filling in wetlands just to build buildings, and everything is just for immediate and kind of paying back the people who helped get him elected without realizing that he is the governor of the entire state. I am one of those small business owners, and I don't want him speaking for me, the guest you had on last hour. I don't want him speaking for me either. We are happy to pay, you know, our taxes if they are put to good use with a, you know, a thoughtful budget that really looks at everybody in the state and not just, again, not immediate, not in the next 2 months, not in the next 4 years, but in the next, you know, the next four decades, who is going to be our next generation? And it just seems like we are being very short-sighted for immediate gratification and not thinking very long-term. And for about the first time in my entire life, I'm not proud to say that I'm from Wisconsin. I'm very fearful for the next 4 years.
Rebecca, thank you very much for your response to the state of Wisconsin. We have online with us now another state lawmaker. Scott Fitzgerald is with us. He is a Republican state senator from Juneau, and he is the Senate Majority Leader. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So
the
state of the state is challenging, or what's your assessment?
Yeah, I think the governor was trying to lay out a plan that incorporated a lot of the concerns that not only he heard on the campaign trail, but I think since being sworn in, there's been a lot of good discussions with lawmakers and also some discussion about the give and take that I think ultimately we'll see in the state budget. And the governor tried to lay some of that out last night.
Mm-hmm. We heard from Peter Barca just before we had you on, the Democratic representative from Kenosha who delivered the official Democratic response. He thinks there's a missed opportunity going on here during the special session, and Democrats want Republicans to get together for some economic summit to put together jobs right now, not sometime in the future. What's your response to that economic summit idea?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to question whether or not Peter's being genuine or not in reaching out to the Republicans. He probably is. I think, you know, the missed opportunity came last session when they put together what was called the Core Jobs Act, but it fell short. It was a $15 million program that ultimately was nothing more than kind of window dressing or eyewash in comparison to, you know, what Governor Walker and the legislature has embarked on already just in the first month. So, you know, I my office is always open. I've told Peter that. I've told Mark Miller that. Come on in. We can talk about anything that you guys think you have that would help us in this effort. And, you know, we'll see where we end up at the end of February, into March, you know, when we're well into not only the budget repair bill that the governor announced, but the full budget itself.
We just heard from a listener in Green Bay who said she was very fearful about the future of the state of Wisconsin, thought that Wisconsin was going backwards and not forward. Mm-hmm. She had a lot more to say, but your general reaction to that sentiment?
I'm worried about the state, too, and I'm worried about the numbers that the governor read off last night that were substantiated by the nonpartisan legislative fiscal bureau. I think that it is hard for some of the residents of the state who, you know, may have or may not have some kind of political bend to really understand that we are in a very, very difficult situation, the most difficult financial crisis that I think we've ever been in the 16 years, certainly I've been in the legislature, and as a result of that, there's going to be some very difficult decisions that are made in this budget like we've never seen before. I think this is the right party at the right time to get the job done. I'm very confident that because Republicans have control in both houses and with Governor Walker there, that we can turn this thing around. But the shell game of one-time money and kind of kicking the can down the road, as the governor said last night, those days are over. And I, you know, it sometimes it's hard, I think, you know, like your listener, to really understand that you know, when you look at the numbers, they are not it's not good right now.
Yeah. What are you going to be doing this week in this, or today, I should say, Scott Fitzgerald in the legislature?
Yeah, if I can round them all up and get them out of the snow into the Capitol, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which is a major piece of what I would consider real reform that the governor has adopted. It's something that has been done in a couple of other states with great success. It's a public-private sector mix of business owners. Some legislators will be on the newly created quasi-governmental board, and we're going to debate that today in the state Senate.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be with you. Thanks, Jeff.
Scott Fitzgerald is a Republican state senator from Juneau and the Senate Majority Leader, giving us his take of the state of Wisconsin. And we have room for you next, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And many other lawmakers and other guests will be joining us as the hour goes along. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We're talking about the state of Wisconsin. And Ron, in Independence, so what's your assessment of the state of the state?
I have three little comments. One of them is I didn't hear him say anything about how many state employees are going to have to pay the extra. Is it just the union employees, or how about the elected employees and the judges and all those people? Are they exempt from paying more for their retirement and that? And then for the people that are stuck on I-94 and all those roads, about 15 years ago, you talk about the state cutting back. 15 years ago, we used to have two trucks on I-94 in Trempealeau County, and now we're down to one. So when we get a bad storm, you just got to sit.
Yeah. Ron, thanks very much. We will maybe get a response to some of those concerns from our next guest. We have another lawmaker with us. Tamara Grigsby is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are in Madison and not Milwaukee right now, is that correct?
Thankfully, I am in Madison. Yes.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, it's not great here, but Milwaukee got it even worse. And we're going to have, in fact, a Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett on the air with us in just a few minutes to get an update there. But we just heard our caller wondering when the governor says that state employees need to contribute more to their pension and more for health insurance premiums, as he did last night in the state of the state. Does that mean all state employees? What about judges? What about, what about everybody, lawmakers?
I don't know that that was made clear. And that would be a question that I would have as well. I mean, the governor last night, called himself the CEO of Wisconsin. And I just have some concerns about how he's running his business, if the state of Wisconsin is his business. And one of the ways that is not business smart is to take away benefits from your employees and to put people in a tighter situation than what they're already in. And public employees are everyday people. They're your teachers. They're your firefighters. They're your neighbors. So I just have some real concerns about, like one of your previous callers, what direction the state is heading in.
Yeah, our last caller also thought that budget cutbacks have already resulted in a cutback of public services. Mentioned, I think, snowplows on the road in Trempealeau County. Mm-hmm. Did the governor address money that goes to local communities last night?
I think that was left very open. Mm-hmm. That was very very vague. The one thing he continued to talk about is creating jobs in Wisconsin and building the economy. And like my colleague, Representative Barker, I would like to echo that this whole jobs, supposed job session, special session, has been a very, very much a lost opportunity. It has not helped everyday people. It has provided tax cuts for those who probably need them the least. And it's added an additional $142 million to our deficit. And so that is a real concern. What are we doing here? So for those folks who need an additional snowplow, then, yes, that is something that has not been addressed through this attempt. And they will probably see more cuts as we, balance the budget off the backs of the folks who need it the most, unfortunately.
Any other concerns from last night's State of the State?
I think that we should be in the business about helping everyday people. And this is just simply business as usual. This is not anything innovative. It's costing us more money. And I agree, in the first month, you know, we've killed jobs, we've killed trains, we've killed wind energy, we've added $142 million to the deficit, and we haven't created a single job. We need to get to work, and we need to get serious about this.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Sure.
Tamara Grigsby is a state representative, Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. We are getting all sorts of reaction to Governor Walker's State of the State speech last night, and we want yours too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And our next caller is Joanne in Plain. Hello, Joanne.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm very good.
And thank you for taking my call.
Yes. What did you think of the state of the state or your hopes or fears for the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I didn't think Governor Walker said very much yesterday, but I do believe that he's taking the wrong approach. And before I go into that, I'd like to say that I completely agree with Rebecca from Green Bay and also the last legislator and then the gentleman prior that was talking about, you know, whether or not the legislators and judges and such take the cuts as well. I know that the state employees had 16 furlough days last year, which not only cuts in their morale, but it also cuts back on income tax. When you think about cutting people's pay, that brings in less income tax for the state. So I don't quite understand why he's taking this approach. I think it's just the Republicans need the light bulb to go on, because the approach should be continue working forward and let's maybe raise some taxes. What is wrong with that? If you talk to most people that are working and actually have an income, they don't mind paying a little more tax if it's going to help overall for our state. So my proposal would be to raise the sales tax for one on everything except real food and services that aren't taxed, such as lawyer fees and nail care and hairdressers and things like that that are never taxed right now. And that money would make a big difference. We only pay 5% here. If you go in almost any other state in the country, they're paying far more than us. I mean, just look at Illinois. They're paying over 8%. So that's one thing. And then the other thing would be, why not raise the income tax 1% for those over 50,000 who are working? If you're working, you pay. That's what we need, more taxes. We need more money coming into our state. We don't need to cut people's benefits.
Thank you very much, Joanne, for your ideas and your thoughts on the state of the state. Bill in Kenosha is with us next. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is also about jobs. And first of all, you don't create jobs. Jobs are there by people, you know, becoming employers and creating jobs. But the type of jobs it seems like Scott Walker wants are the type of jobs and employers to come into the state who need to have no regulations governing what they do. They want to bypass all state DNR regulations and all types of regulations as far as responsibility of what they do and what they make. They want people that they can exploit. And on that count, nationwide, all the jobs are going to be leaving this country as they have been, because as long as there are people overseas that can be exploited by those type of businesses, they're going to go there. They're going to find the lowest common denominator where they can pay the least and do whatever they please. We want the type of jobs in this state that offer a living wage, and we want, I agree with the last caller, that a little tax increase here and there would help. We're all in the same boat, supposedly, according to one of your earlier guests, but it seems like we're all underneath the water holding up the keel on their boat.
Thank you very much for your thoughts, Bill. We appreciate it. Governor Walker, by the way, is scheduled to embark on a 5-city tour Thursday following his State of the State speech last night. He said last night that the tour will give him a chance to deliver his message across the state. He plans on stopping in De Pere, Rhinelander, Wausau, Eau Claire, and Onalaska. Governor Walker was delivering his first State of the State speech last night before a joint session of the legislature. under a very snowy Capitol dome. He said, among other things, that state employees will need to contribute more to their pensions and more for health insurance. He said that Wisconsin's Medicaid programs are not sustainable. He thinks that by targeting those areas for cuts, that Wisconsin might be able to avoid massive layoffs and cuts to essential services. He will have more details when he delivers his state budget address, which is probably going to be within a week or two. Normally, that's when the governors deliver their budget address. So more details and more specifics coming in the state budget address. And we will carry that live when it occurs. Mark writes on Facebook, it sounded more like a short campaign stop than a state of the state address. There were very few details on how he plans to achieve a balanced budget and create 250,000 jobs, besides giving state workers the equivalent of a pay cut. Oh, I see here that Governor Walker has scheduled the budget address for February the 22nd. And I think that'll probably be at 7 o'clock in the evening, and we will carry that on the Ideas Network. And again, it typically is the budget address where more specifics are laid out, and we'll know more. But we still welcome your reaction to the state of the state of Wisconsin, whether you are hopeful that the state of Wisconsin will get better if the policies and issues proposed by Governor Walker and the Republican-controlled legislature will make the future brighter for the state of Wisconsin, or if you have any fears along those lines. Mark in Winnebago County is with us next. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Yes, what do you think?
Well, I'm a little concerned. The governor made a comment that reinforced comments he'd made in earlier television interviews, that he wants to have the local governments impose a 12.5% health care contribution and a 5% pension contribution on their employees. And he suggested that he might be taking away our revenue sharing and expect us to make it up by charging the employees more. Well, many counties have already, through collective bargaining, obtained a substantial contribution to health care. I'm already at that 12.5% number for most of my employees, probably all of them when the contracts are settled. And many of my employees are also making small contributions towards their pension plan. If he takes away the revenue sharing and we've already got those contributions, I'm fearful that it'll be taking money away from essential services.
Mm.
I also think the public thinks that if the local employees' pay is cut, that it'll cut their property taxes, but they've got to understand that those cuts will generate funds that the state will take that won't be available to cut property owners' taxes.
Mark, it sounds like you supervise some Winnebago County employees, public employees?
Yes, I'm the county executive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're concerned in particular about that that portion of the state of the state. Anything else?
Well, mostly that's the one that I was focusing on. I was hoping to get more specifics of what he's actually going to propose in the budget. I'm fearful that he'll propose a budget that may sail through without much debate on the details. And sometimes you can have huge unintended consequences unless you have enough debate that the local people can explain where the difficulties are.
Yeah, I didn't check my list of counties here. Did Winnebago County escape the brunt of the blizzard and the snowstorm?
Well, we were included in the emergency area, but I'm here in Oshkosh, and I was able to come to work on time. And when I got to the parking lot, it was already full, so a lot of employees must have left early to get here on time. And so we escaped the brunt of it, but my workers that work out in the countryside are probably coming in on some difficult roads,
mm-hmm.
or maybe taking a vacation day. So many of my workers, though, you know, the jail guards have to be in. The wonderful nursing home workers have to be in. My wonderful patrol officers and snowplow drivers, they all have to work. So the counties really have to continue to operate regardless of the weather.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark from Winnebago County. Mark, didn't catch his last name, the executive of Winnebago County. Oh, look who's on the line. We have another community leader joining us. Tom Barrett, the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, is joining us. Good morning. You know, I want to get your reaction to the state of the state, but first, what's the latest on the blizzard in Milwaukee?
Well, we did get hit very, very hard, and we continue to get hard. And basically, a lot of the functions are closed down for the day because we got hit so hard here. But we've got 100 salt trucks out. We've got close to 350 vehicles all told that are out on the roads right now clearing the streets. So our people are out there right now trying to make sure that people can get to work if they're going to work. But my advice for people is it's a good day to stay home and be with your family.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice. Do you share the same concerns of Mark from Winnebago County about the state of the state in this?
Oh, I thought he nailed it. I thought he did a great job. And I'm glad you had him call in. I don't know if you had him call in or he called in.
No, he called in.
When I heard this speech and I heard reforming relationship with local government, I just don't want that to be the code word for slashing shared revenue. Because all you have to do is look at this storm and you'll have a sense of how important local government is. We're the ones that are putting the plow drivers out. We're the ones that have the police that are working because of people who are off in car accidents or are blown over by the wind. We're the ones that have the firefighters who have to go to the emergency calls. And that's going to continue. And people rely on local government. And so I just want to make it very, very clear, whether it's Winnebago County, whether it's Milwaukee County, whether it's Rock County, that you have to make sure that the state does not end this 90-year relationship that we have had with shared revenue and shared services.
Yeah. Besides the shared revenue aspect, any other reaction to the governor's State of the State address?
Well, I'm actually hopeful and optimistic when he talked about the zoo interchange that we've got some cooler heads that are now prevailing when they talk about dealing with some of these major transportation projects, because he indicated that there would be a $600 million savings. I haven't seen the plan. I don't know what he's talking about. But for years now, we've been saying you do not have to have this Cadillac expansion. You can deal with the safety concerns. You can deal with the congestion concerns without having this price tag that's just through the roof. And hopefully now maybe someone's listening to that, and that would be great, because then we would get this busy interchange rebuilt, and you wouldn't do it in a way that would jeopardize other projects or local aids.
Mayor Barrett, thanks very much for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Joy.
Tom Barrett, the mayor of Milwaukee. And we'll get more reaction from other guests, state lawmakers and others, and you coming up in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Qualline Fence in Wanakee, a family-owned company serving residential and commercial customers in southern Wisconsin. Information at quallinefence.com. Qualline Fence, proud to sponsor Wisconsin Public Radio for over 20 years.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, getting your views on the state of Wisconsin, and the views of many others. And let's take one call before we welcome in our next guest lawmaker, Mike in Green Bay. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Joy. Great show. I just wanted to comment. I believe that Scott Walker, overall his plan in general, I agree with, because, you know, it's been tough for the economy the last couple of years. I work in the private sector, and, you know, people talk about the furloughs that state workers are getting. Our company did the exact same thing, 2 weeks of furloughs. And I think, in general, government lags private sector in terms of Medicare expenses. You know, our company has been, you know, pushing more of the responsibility to the individuals in terms of paying towards your medical benefits and your pension benefits. And all we have to do is look at California and look where California is. They're practically bankrupt. And we don't want Wisconsin to head in the same direction. So I agree with the general direction that Scott Walker talked about last night.
Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate your input. Joining us now is the Assembly Speaker, Jeff Fitzgerald, a Republican state representative from Horicon. Good morning. Let me make sure I push the right button. Now I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we just heard from a caller who thinks Governor Walker is taking the state in the right direction. I presume you agree with him.
Yeah, I do agree. And I think in the State of the State speech last night, I think you saw Governor Walker address two major items that I heard, you know, day in and day out on the campaign trail this last fall. And it was people asking us to, first of all, let's get Wisconsin moving in the right direction and get people back to work and start creating jobs here in the state. And then number two, it was to get our fiscal house in order. You know, we've faced, you know, billion-dollar budget deficits for the past 10 years, as long as I've been in the legislature. And you know what? We have to take some steps in the right direction. And it's going to be very difficult choices, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, we're broke, the credit cards are maxed out, and everybody's going to have to do their part to pull us out of this hole. And I think that's what Governor Walker is going to do and take us in that direction.
Representative Fitzgerald, respond, if you would, to a couple of Democratic lawmakers that we heard from earlier in the hour, including Tamara Grigsby and Peter Barca, who said that this special session going on right now is a lost opportunity because it's not dealing with immediate job creation, a lot of the things that are being passed right now will not create jobs now. What's your response to that?
My response is, wow, I find that very hypocritical since they were in power for the last 2 years and did nothing on the job creation front. So, you know, we've come out at a fast pace. Governor Walker called us into a special session. We are going to finalize the two last bills of that package today on the floor of the State Assembly. And you know what? We're definitely out there trying to change the tone here in Wisconsin. You know, not one single piece of legislation is going to create 250,000 jobs. But when you put a package together and start changing the tone that, you know what, we're open for business here in Wisconsin, that's what we have to do. We have to change the attitude. We have to be more aggressive at trying to lure businesses here. And, you know, thank goodness Illinois did us a huge favor about a month back and raised all their taxes on personal income and their corporations. And I think we've got a great opportunity here. So I find it a little hypocritical that, you know, the past 2 years there was nothing done on job creation. And, you know, and now they're being critical of the quick start that we've got in this session.
Can you address the concerns that we heard from our Winnebago County Executive and Mayor Tom Barrett about the state's relationship with local governments in terms of shared revenue?
Yeah, I think this is why you're seeing what Governor Walker is talking about. You know, everybody's going to have to do their part. You know, I told my members that I think this will be the most difficult session anybody serves in, but I also think it can be the most meaningful. You're going to have to put reforms in place, and when it comes to shared revenue, you know, there's a lot of state dollars that go towards shared revenue. But if you give the locals the tools on the back end, you know, I think it's going to be easier for them to look at these cuts in spending that we're going to have to do. You know, there's only two ways out of this budget mess. You can either raise taxes, which the Democrats did 2 years ago, on businesses and individuals, or you can cut state spending. And, you know, I think the people spoke loud and clear on November 2nd on which direction they want to head. So that's what we're going to head. We're not going to raise your taxes. We're not going to go back to you again and say, can we have more out of your pocket during these tough times? So if we give the locals the tools on the back end, I think they'll be more receptive to the cuts that we're going to have to do. But everybody's going to have to do their part, and it's not going to be easy.
Speaker Fitzgerald, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jeff Fitzgerald, Republican State Representative from Horicon and the Assembly Speaker. Back to your calls and your reactions to the state of the state. And Jeff in Winneconne is with us next. Hello. Hello, Jeff.
Hi. I'm a state worker. I make $12.50 an hour. That is minimum wage. It's almost just borderlining poverty level. I don't see how we can take any concessions more. And you know what? These people that are making $7.50 an hour, they should unionize so they can get the wages up, and then they wouldn't be mad at us anymore.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for that thought, and we welcome your reaction to it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ann in Campbellsport emails, I found it interesting that Governor Walker did not discuss the voter photo ID proposal or the ridiculous lawsuit by Van Hollen to appeal the health care reform, all unnecessary expenses which add to our deficit. If he, Governor Walker, is so concerned with cutting back, why has his first month resulted in more additions to our budget? So that's what Ann thinks or wonders. Let's take another call. I think we should welcome in our next guest lawmaker. Mark Miller is a Democratic state senator from Monona and the Senate Minority Leader. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what was your reaction to the state of the state last night?
Well, it was sort of a typical state of the state address. It cheered the achievements of Wisconsin, and you know, it talked about some of the achievements we've made in terms of keeping businesses in Wisconsin in the last year or two. And but it was very short and specific. I think you've heard that this morning, is that I guess we're going to have to wait for the detail when the governor's budget is introduced later this month.
Yeah. Our state employees are going to have to pay more for their pension and more for health insurance. Is that a given?
The governor has made it very clear that that's what he intends to accomplish. And so I think that there will be a negotiation, and there will probably be hopefully there will be some agreement that can be approached. One of the things I should point out about the state, about the public employee health insurance plan, is that it's been cleverly designed so that it actually reduces health care costs. And because by picking the less expensive or the less costly insurance plan, employees pay less. And if they pick a more expensive one, they pay more. And if we eliminate that and go to a flat fee, is that what will happen is healthcare costs will start to balloon in the area. Dane County, because of this program, has had some of the smallest healthcare cost increases anywhere in the state.
Do you suspect that Governor Walker is going to propose specific cuts in Badger care? For instance, maybe adults without children would not be eligible?
Oh, he's made it very clear that that Medicaid and Badger Care are among the areas he's going to seek reductions in state commitment. And we're concerned also that that might include senior care, a very popular program for low-income seniors in Wisconsin to obtain prescription drugs.
And is there anything that Democrats in the state legislature can do to change the direction of the state of Wisconsin?
Well, we have offered a number of what we think are amendments to improve some of the proposals that have been considered. None of them have been taken up. They've all been tabled, rejected out of hand. So it looks like this is going to be a one-pony show, the governor and the Republican majority. I would hope that there would be an opportunity for the Democrats to actually have an influence, but right now it doesn't look like that's the case.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Mark Miller, Democratic State Senator from Monona and the Senate Minority Leader. And now time for more of your reaction to the state of the state of Wisconsin. And our next caller is Karen in Hillsboro. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I guess when I'm listening to all of this, what I'm concerned about is the disparity of incomes. Well, everybody's going to do their share, but what that translates, especially in Republican administrations, is that poor people are going to get poorer. We're going to create a whole lot of very impoverished jobs where people are going to be working for below the poverty level. And that the wealthy are going to get wealthier. We're going to do tax cuts so that the business owners are going to make tons more money than they already do. We have a huge disparity of income in this country. It's growing. And all I can see is that this is going to make it even worse.
Thank you very much, Karen, for the call. Another call from Julie in Fort Atkinson. Hello, Julie.
Hi.
I guess I started out angry, and I'm just getting angrier the longer I listen. I think first of all, I wanted to say that Scott Fitzgerald was particularly rude and condescending when he talked about a previous caller as having some political bent, and it might be hard for listeners to understand, treating us like we're children and we just don't quite get what's going on. I think what we have to keep in mind is the attitude, whose side are they on? And Governor Walker made it very clear by calling himself the CEO of Wisconsin that he's on the side of big business. He's anti-union, and unions is what has made our country great. It gives a voice to the little guy. And when he goes out, and just keep your ears open and keep thinking, whose side is he on? When they talk about destroying our natural resources, which are precious here in Wisconsin, by filling in some wetlands, which is one of his priorities coming up shortly, just continue to think, whose side is he on?
Thank you very much, Julie, for your call. We have another state lawmaker with a reaction to the state of the state. I will point out that we were trying to be politically balanced in putting out invitations to lawmakers to join us. We have with us Janet Bewley, a first-term Democratic state representative from Ashland with us. We had also invited a first-term Republican lawmaker from Kenosha to join us earlier in the hour, but we crossed wires. We were going to be talking with Samantha Kirkman, who is from Powers Lake in southeast Wisconsin. But now we have with us State Representative Janet Bewley. Did I pronounce your name right?
That's correct, Joy. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. What did you take away from the state of the state last night?
Well, it was the state of the state, and I had hoped, and I was ready to be inspired by the governor's address, that he would be addressing all of the state of Wisconsin, and that we would feel inspired by the leadership that has been elected. But I left not feeling inspired, and I certainly agree with Karen and Julie, your earlier callers, because I would suspect that they did not see or feel themselves in his remarks. When he was speaking to the state, I would have hoped that he would have made everyone in the state feel as though he was speaking to them. And I don't believe that people from the 74th Assembly District that I have the privilege to represent heard or saw themselves in the comments that he made. He seemed to be addressing very specifically a narrow group of people who for whom he is trying to make changes on the state level. But I didn't hear Wisconsin coming through on his comments. Other than the remarks that he made about the Green Bay Packers and Mercury Marine, his speech was very generic. It could have been about any state in the union. Yeah. And I didn't hear Wisconsin. I didn't hear anything about our schools. I didn't hear anything about the great quality of life, our natural resources. I did not feel inspired by what he had to say. And at this critical time, we need a leader who will inspire all of Wisconsin. And I felt very, very uninspired by what he had to say.
We'll need to leave it there. We're out of time. I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Joy.
Janet Bewley is a first-term Democratic state representative from Ashland, one of many guests who joined us this morning as we talked about the state of the state of Wisconsin. I want to thank all of my producers and directors, Bill Martins, Chris Molina, Rob Ferret, Cynthia Schuster, who is in this morning because she was able to walk through all the big snowdrifts to get here. I want to thank her as well. And thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your calls. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come, and I hope you also join Wisconsin Public Radio for live coverage of Governor Scott Walker's budget address, which will be on February the 22nd at 7 p.m., and we'll follow up again. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Stay safe.